Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Coming up on What's for Dinner today, Sunday dinner recipes with coffee, the drink of the week, and my sweet tooth. That's all coming up this week on What's for Dinner.
I love coffee, I love tea, I love the Java Java, and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java and me. A I love Java, sweet and hot. Whoops, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee pot. Shoot me the pot and I'll pour me a shot. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. Whoa, slim me a slug from that wonderful mug.
Support for What's for Dinner on KFSK comes from Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, offering an expanded organic produce selection, cheeses, meats, Italian breads, and special occasion cheesecake and birthday cakes in the deli. In the meat department, Duane's Famous Sausage, with staff happy to make those special cuts. Delivery and van service available. Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921.
Boston beans,
soybeans,
I said those richy booty beans,
cabbage and greens,
you know that I'm not keen about a bean, unless it is the chili chili bean, boy, I love coffee, I love tea, I love the Java Jive and it loves.
Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. I'm not a chef. I just love to cook. I'll admit, sometimes I cook real flops. Recently, though, made a great dinner. Made a nice dinner at home at my house last night. One of those nights where I said, I'm just going to do the whole shebang, take my time, go to the grocery store, take my time there, really had my menu picked out, and I just, I worked early in the day, but then just had a nice time cooking the rest of the day. So I hope you had a great day, too. Of course, it was Valentine's Day, so happy late Valentine's Day, everybody. So last night for dinner at my house, mushroom risotto was delicious. Roasted beets and carrots, and pan-seared pork chops. I'm going to give you those recipes. Of course, I've given you recipes for risotto a lot, but I'm telling you, it's not difficult to make. Don't let the word risotto scare you away. And so I started off the risotto with, first of all, looking for pork chops. Let's just talk about that really quick. I went to the grocery store. I like my pork chops just a little bit thicker than what you can usually buy them. The size of the pork chops, the thickness. And usually like mine a little bit thicker than what they sell. And you can definitely ask the butchers in town and they will cut them for you. Whatever thickness you want. But you should do it at least a day ahead of time. Like, I tried to kind of schmooze my way to getting thicker cut pork chops yesterday when I showed up at the grocery store at 4 o'clock, but I knew it wasn't going to happen. They were getting ready to close the butcher shop, but you can certainly do that, and I really like a nice thicker cut for a pork chop, just, you know, because then you can sear the pork chops and then put them in the oven to finish off. But for these pork chops, I didn't have to do that. But we're going to get back to the pork chops. Let's start with the mushroom risotto, because you can make the mushroom risotto and kind of let that sit while everything else is cooking. And the beets and carrots, of course. Mushroom risotto. I used my cast iron, nice heavy cast iron pot. Throw a little pat of butter in there, some olive oil, a half of a finely chopped red onion. I also had some leftover bacon from the morning. I made a nice breakfast in the morning for my family, and I had bacon that I had cured in my house and smoked. Cured and smoked bacon. In-house cured and smoked bacon at my house. And I had some bacon left over from that. So I just used a partial piece and cut some very tiny little pieces of bacon just for the flavor to put in with the risotto. So I threw that in with the half red onion into the butter and olive oil. And then chopped up some mushrooms, just some small cremini mushrooms, pretty small, and threw that in the olive oil and butter and sauteed that, let it sit and let the mushrooms sweat out a little bit and the onions too, and then add some salt and pepper to it. Once I felt like they were cooked pretty well, then I added just 1 cup of arborio rice, just 1 cup. 1 cup of arborio rice really, really, really can feed even 5-6 people. You don't need much. So unless you're using it as a main dish, just the risotto in a bowl with something on top of it. But this was just a little side. I wanted something on the side with the pork chop and the vegetables. So 1 cup of arborio rice, and saute the rice in with the vegetables and the olive oil and butter. And I let the rice get just a little bit kind of golden, some of the grains, just a little golden. And then in goes the white wine. And, you know, half a cup of white wine. Maybe you want to put more than that in. So that's probably about what I put in, a half a cup, maybe 3/4 of a cup of white wine. And immediately that'll sizzle up and your rice will start to soak in that and absorb that white wine. And then have ready some chicken broth that you have on another burner that's nice and hot and simmering, because you don't want to put that cool broth in with your rice that's cooking that's hot. You want it all to be pretty much the same temperature. So make sure you've got your chicken broth on the stove and you're just ladling it in. Ladle in the chicken broth a little bit at a time. Give it a couple stirs and let that rice just soak up the chicken broth. And it doesn't take too long. You can move on to something else. Go back. Give your rice a little stir and ladle in some more chicken broth. And then when you've tasted the rice, give it a little test taste, and it's cooked through but has a little bit of a bite to it. You don't want any hard crunchiness, but then you don't want your rice just cooked and smashing apart. You know, you don't want it too sticky and gooey. Then I add a little more chicken broth, so it has so there's quite a bit in there then. And then add some shredded cheese. It would be shredded Parmigiano Reggiano or whatever you have. I didn't have shredded Parmesan, so I used Satori cheese. It's a hard cheese. It actually has a little bit of a raspberry flavor. It was the raspberry Satori. You can buy that at Hammer and Wecon. It is delicious just for snacking on a little bit here and there. I grabbed it because it's all I had. Shredded some of that in there, and it immediately makes it creamy and a little bit cheesy, and then a little bit more butter in there, and set it aside. When you go back to serve it, if it's, you know, if and the rice will continue to soak up that liquid, you can add a little more of that hot broth to it there at the end and really make it creamy. So keep that hot broth next to your rice, your risotto, and then you can continue on with what you're doing. I bought one bunch of nice organic beets and a bunch of nice organic carrots. They looked great. I really wanted some roasted vegetables that had some sweetness to them, yet a little bit of tang, and, you know, and just bring out the sweetness in the carrots and beets. So, I cut up the beets just in nice bite-sized pieces, and the carrots I left whole. I just chopped the greens off. The carrots weren't very thick. If they were really thick, then I would have cut them into more chunks. But since they were thin, I just left them nice and long, cut off the very tips and cut off the greens. Actually left some of the green on the top just for color. And I put them each in their own saute pan with a little bit of water, put the lid on, put them on the stovetop, and kind of boiled them right there in the saute pan until they were just fork tender. And then for each of them, I just drained off the water. For the beets, a little honey, a little balsamic vinegar, and a little bit of garlic, some salt and pepper. Mix that up, and I poured it over the beets and just tossed them in all of that. And then for the carrots, I used a little bit of blood orange juice. I had a blood orange that was wonderful tasting. So blood orange, a little bit of honey again, and a little stone ground mustard. So they each had their own flavor to them. I put that in with the carrots and mixed that up a little bit and put some parchment paper onto a baking sheet, and I just put the carrots at one end and the beets at the other. I didn't want the red beets getting all over the carrots. Otherwise, I would have just mixed them. But I wanted to keep them a little bit separate and put them in the oven on 375 so that they can get nice and brown and caramelize in the oven. So they were pretty much already cooked. I just needed to brown them. So while they were browning, then it was time to sear the pork chops. I just seasoned the pork chops with salt and pepper. That's all I used. And I used a cast iron skillet, turned it up on high heat to get it nice and hot, and then turned it down a little bit. I added, once again, a little bit of butter and a little olive oil in the cast iron pan, and then I added some thyme sprigs. I had quite a few of those, and I laid those in there. And I basically, for the pork, you know how you have that little layer of fat around your pork chop? And this was a pork chop with a bone in. I cut slits through the fat all the way around the pork chop so that it would open up and those would get nice and seared and delicious. And I did that for each pork chop. Just to the meat, so through the fat and into the meat. And I seared just a couple minutes on each side, of course, in a nice hot pan so that they really get that brown caramelization pretty quickly. And after a couple minutes on one side, just flip. Don't be moving them around a lot. Go ahead and just leave them in the pan. Let them sear. Flip them over the other side. Let that sear, then take them off the heat and let them sit with some foil over them, and they'll finish cooking. If they were thicker pork chops, then I would have put them right into the oven and let them finish off. Because once they're seared, and they're going to hold in their moisture, and then they just need the rest of that heat to continue to let the meat cook. So, you know, don't keep them on the pan and keep searing, because then it's going to get overcooked and it's going to be tough. So just put it in the oven and let it finish if you have a thick pork chop. But if you have the same size pork chop we all have from the grocery stores, I think they all cook them, cut them about the same, unless you ask. You can go ahead and just finish them there in the pan, set them aside. And then I added a little bit of white wine to... You know, I had that bottle open from the risotto. I just deglazed with a little bit of white wine. And it immediately made a really nice sauce. So I poured a little bit of that over the pork chops, left the rest in the pan. And then I took out the carrots and beets. And I put the carrots on one side of the pan and the beets on the other. And so they were also in that delicious reduction and... you know, that glaze from the pan that the pork chops were in. So it was a delicious dinner. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Had a glass of wine or two with it, too. That was nice. And that was Sunday dinner at my house. I didn't really plan for dessert because we had some great chocolate chip cookies somebody had dropped by. We happened to have, where they came from, I don't know. My family, they've been out shopping for Ben and Jerry's. So there was plenty of that in the freezer. So it was a really nice day and a really nice night. And that little bit of bacon in with the risotto, which I never put bacon in risotto, was great. I had cut the bacon into thick slices for breakfast, just a few slices, because this bacon is very intense flavored. You know, I home cured it and smoked it. And so, yeah, just very intense flavored, and it's perfect for flavoring soups and things like this risotto. So really excited to make more of that, too. All right. So coming up next, we're going to talk about coffee, making recipes with coffee, lots of things you can do with coffee. We're going to talk about that. I've got my fresh coffee right here. I ran home right before this program, made myself a nice thermos of coffee with some cream and honey in it, just so I could sip on it for this show. We'll be back in just a moment.
Left a wink. I walk the floor and watch the door, and in between I drink black coffee. Love's a hand-me-down brew. I'll never know a Sunday in this weekday room. I'm talking to the shadows, 1 o'clock to 4, and Lord, how slow the moments go when all I do is pour black coffee. Since the blues caught mine, I'm hanging out on Monday, my Sunday dreams to dry.
Now a man. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. Today we're talking about adding coffee to some of your recipes. One of my favorite recipes is my coffee-rubbed ribeye, kind of cooked the same way that I did the pork chop last night. Pan sear it in a cast iron skillet with some butter. It's a coffee rub that has some chilies. I mean, you can come up with your own rub for any pork, beef, chicken with coffee in it, and delicious. Pan sear it or throw it on the grill, add a little bit of butter. It's always going to taste great. So that's one of my favorite recipes. But, of course, many different ways you can add coffee to recipes. You can use coffee grounds, whether they're espresso or like micro grounds. Those little packages of micro espresso or micro coffee, like the little Starbucks, those work great. That's a great way to add flavor to chocolate, moles, cakes, all sorts of great treats, or anything really. The micro ground, perfect. And then a strong brewed coffee as a liquid. It's another way you can add coffee to any recipe that usually uses a liquid, and including bread dough. And then like an extract, a coffee extract, which those are hard to find here, definitely here in a small town, finding coffee extract. But you can find them. You can special order them, too. And coffee extract is great for a lot of different recipes, too. In fact, I might have one here that has a coffee extract. You may or may not have it at home, but this is just going to give you some ideas of what you can do with coffee in your menus. So to start off with, right at the top of my list, I've got this, because we were talking about my bacon, I wanted to give you this recipe that I found from Joy the Baker. This is for her coffee bacon sandwiches, and she takes bacon and she marinates it in a coffee mixture. It's at the top of my list because I have got this nice little chunk of home-cured bacon at home, and this is exactly what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to make a really nice bacon sandwich sometime this week, either for dinner or for lunch if I can get away. Maybe I can hold off till next weekend. We'll see. So what you need is about 8 pieces of bacon and you'll be making a spread to go with this too that uses some goat's cheese. So we're gonna start off. For the bacon, you need 8 slices of uncooked bacon. You need a quarter cup of freshly ground coffee. You need a quarter teaspoon of chili powder and 2 tablespoons of packed brown sugar, a couple tablespoons of molasses, and a tablespoon of water. Sounds good already, right? Putting bacon in that mixture. Then you're also going to make a spread, so you need some goat's cheese. You need 4 ounces of goat's cheese. You need some medjool dates, pitted and coarsely chopped, a tablespoon of lemon zest, 2 tablespoons of lime juice, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, a quarter teaspoon of crushed red pepper flakes. And that's what you're going to be making a spread with. It's going to be the tangy goat cheese with the sweetness of the dates, with a little bit of zip from the lemon zest and the lemon juice and the creaminess from the olive oil. It's perfect. With this bacon, it's going to be great. I love Joy the Baker. She's got some great recipes. And then, also, you're going to need some fresh baby spinach leaves for the sandwich. So, you're going to put your bacon slices on top one of another so that the fat is on the top. So you can just, overlap them. Place the bacon on top of a piece of plastic wrap or brown butcher paper. In a small bowl, stir together the ground coffee, the chili powder, the brown sugar, the molasses, and the water. It's going to be kind of thick. Spread the mixture on top of the bacon slices, pressing with the back of a spoon. And you're going to only put that on the top. And wrap the bacon and the coffee mixture in plastic wrap or butcher paper and put it in the fridge. And you can also let it sit in a sealable plastic bag too, and let that sit either 2 hours or overnight. It's really gonna, that molasses and that brown sugar with the coffee and the chili powder, yes, it's just gonna soak right into that bacon. When ready to bake, you place a rack in the center of your oven and preheat it to 375. Line your baking sheet with parchment paper, and then you're going to separate the bacon slices, put them on the parchment paper in a single layer. There may be quite a bit of the coffee mixture on your bacon. You can wipe some of it off if you want to. Otherwise, you can leave it on there, and it'll have this gooiness to it. Bake until browned and crisp, 14 to 17 minutes, or until the bacon has reached your desired crispiness. Remove it from the oven, allow it to drain on a piece of paper towel, and then make your goat cheese spread. So in a medium bowl, you place the goat cheese, the pitted dates, the lemon zest, lemon juice, the olive oil and red pepper flakes in a bowl. Use a fork to mash the ingredients together and mash them until they're well incorporated. Add a touch more lemon juice if you need to, or olive oil, to change the consistency of the spread. So you might want it a little thicker, a little thinner. So if it's thinner, you're not going to be able to do much about it. If it's too thin, you can add more cheese if you have it. If it's too thick, you can add some more liquid to it, like olive oil or lemon juice. Spread the goat cheese mixture on buttered and toasted bread. This would be amazing on homemade bread. Top with the coffee bacon and fresh spinach and serve immediately. I bet that's making everybody hungry. It sounds great to me. I'm putting it over here onto the left side. This is a recipe I want to keep, so then I take it home. And I end up making most of the recipes that I give you. I really do. And then I really love this recipe from myrecipes.com. And this recipe is a coffee onion jam, which would be perfect on a lot of different sandwiches, including like a pulled pork sandwich or a steak sandwich. Coffee onion jam. And it would make a great base for a tart of some sort, a vegetable tart, also with some goat cheese. So here's a recipe for coffee onion jam. You're going to want to slice the onions about a quarter inch thick. This makes 2 1/4 cups. 3 large yellow onions, thinly sliced, and 6 tablespoons of oil. You want to use 1/2 cup of hot, strong-brewed coffee, 1/4 cup of sugar, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and 1/4 teaspoon of freshly ground pepper. There's no butter in this recipe. You might think there would be with the onions, and you might want to caramelize them, but there is no butter in this recipe. You're going to cook the onions in hot oil in your large skillet, medium high heat. Stir it often, 15 to 20 minutes, until the onions are caramel color. Stir in the coffee and the remaining ingredients, which would be your sugar, salt, and pepper, and cook, stirring occasionally 5 to 10 more minutes or until the liquid has evaporated and the onions are going to be nice and soft and caramelized and gooey. And there you have it, your coffee onion jam. If you know how to turn this into a large batch, then you can do that, and you could put it in half pint jars and process them and have coffee onion jam. Give it away as a gift. It's a great idea. I love this idea of coffee onion jam. I've had lots of onion jams, tomato onion jam, you name it, but not coffee onion jam. Okay, let's get on to the short ribs. And I always say it's just too bad that these short ribs are so expensive. And it just doesn't seem like you're getting much meat. But this is kind of a fun recipe. You could also use you could also just use a roast for this rather than short ribs. You could use a rump roast. That's a good idea, just a rump roast. But every now and then you can get short ribs on sale or splurge a little bit. Usually short ribs are so rich, you don't need a lot anyway. This is a short ribs braised in coffee ancho chili sauce. And ancho chili sauces are one of my most favorite sauces. It requires you to soak the chilies in some sort of a hot liquid. And then from there, you're usually pulsing them in a food processor or in a blender. And these chilies can make such a mess because of the deep color. And especially if you put the liquid in a blender or a food processor hot, like I've mentioned before, it can explode on you and make a huge mess. And it did one time on me. Well, I've had it happen a couple times. Once with some very hot garlic ginger liquid. And then one other time, the food processor really just wasn't working right. And I had a huge explosion all over the kitchen. It was on me. It was on the furniture. It was on the windows. It was on the plants. Even flew over onto the artwork. It was everywhere. I mean, it took me an hour to stop what I was doing, and I had to clean the whole kitchen, and still I find little splatters of ancho chili sauce here and there that I've missed. And this was a year ago. So be very careful when you're working with ancho chilies that you're careful about your food processor and your blender, because the hot liquid, and even if you just spill it, it just makes a mess, and that chili sauce is very hard to get out. Short ribs braised in coffee with ancho chili sauce. Oh my gosh. You're going to need 4 dried ancho chilies. You can get those in the Latino section of the grocery store. They're generally in a bag. They're dried. They're big. Don't let them scare you. Open them up. Take out the seeds. Shake the seeds out and soak them in some hot liquid. But we're going to move on. 2 cups of boiling hot water. 1 medium onion quartered. 3 garlic cloves coarsely chopped. 2 tablespoons of finely chopped canned chipotle chilies in adobo, plus 2 teaspoons of adobo sauce. So, onion, garlic, adobo, chilies, and ancho chilies. Already it's going to be a great dish. You also need a couple tablespoons of pure maple syrup, a tablespoon of fresh lime juice, maybe more depending on your taste, 3 teaspoons of salt, and 6 pounds of beef short ribs. You could use, like I had mentioned, you could use a kind of a rump roast. You can also use some flank steak too, and that would work. 1 teaspoon of black pepper, 1 tablespoon of vegetable oil, and here it comes, 1/2 cup of brewed coffee. Soak your ancho chilies in the boiling hot water until softened, about 20 minutes. Then drain in a colander set over a bowl. If you want to, you can set that soaking liquid aside and you can use it for your braising liquid. If you taste the soaking liquid, if you absolutely do not like the soaking liquid, if it's bitter or unpleasant, then don't use it. But if it's a taste that you like, then go ahead and use it to braise in. It just adds another depth of flavor to your dish. Transfer the chilies to the blender and puree with onion, garlic, the chipotles, with the 2 tablespoons of sauce, the maple syrup, the lime juice, and the salt. And there you have a nice sauce. That's all it takes. Soaking the chilies for 20 minutes and then add everything else in the blender. Voila. No need to buy a paste or a sauce already in the jar when you can really make a delicious sauce at home that doesn't have all those additives. You're going to pat the meat dry, sprinkle with a little pepper and a couple teaspoons of salt, heat your oil in a 12-inch heavy skillet, and you're going to brown the meat in 3 batches. You might be using ribs, you might be using roast meat, you might be using some flank steak. Turn occasionally about 5 minutes per batch and transfer to a roasting pan large enough to hold the meat in one layer. And then you're going to carefully add the puree to the skillet, because you're going to take the meat out of the skillet. You're going to add your puree to the skillet. And just be careful, because immediately it's going to start to bubble up and splat all over the place and get your stove all messy. So be careful of that. You're also going to So you cook that over low heat and then stir it every now and then. You're going to add some of that reserved liquid that you set aside, or you can just use 1.5 cups of water. So you put the puree in there, you add some water or the soaking liquid, and then you're going to add the coffee to that, and that's your braising liquid. You're going to bring it to a boil, and then you're going to pour it all over the meat, and it should come up about halfway up. And then you're going to cover that roasting pan with some foil, and you're going to braise the meat in the middle of the oven 3 to 3.5 hours till tender. And every now and then, skim the fat from the top. And there you have it. You've got, you know, that would be delicious with over some polenta, creamy polenta. You can buy the polenta in the store already, kind of in a tube, and you can cut that into slices and kind of sear it in a dry pan or with a little bit of oil and put that underneath your meat. You can, of course, serve it with rice. You can serve it with some tortillas on the side and some black beans. Really delicious. But definitely something with corn in it would be great. But adding more depth of flavor with that coffee is going to give it some richness. Definitely give it some richness. And then I've talked about my coffee ribeye before, but this is from Bon Appetit. This is a recipe by Fred Thompson, and this is a recipe for coffee-rubbed cheeseburgers with a Texas barbecue sauce. So you can use that rub. If you make some coffee rub, I'm going to give you this recipe. You can make enough and keep it in a, in a jar or a Ziploc bag or something, and that way you have it for when you need it. And generally, most of these recipes, you make more than what you really need, but double the batch while you're making it. A tablespoon of freshly ground coffee and 2 teaspoons of packed brown sugar, 2 teaspoons of freshly ground black pepper. You know what to do if you don't have brown sugar, right? You just take some molasses and add it with white sugar, add it to white sugar, and you have brown sugar. That's how you make that. I just had this discussion with someone a couple days ago. It's not hard to make brown sugar. If you don't have it, you've got white sugar, or you might have another sugar you like using, like a raw sugar, organic raw sugar, and you just take some molasses to that too, and you're just mixing it up, and that's what makes it a brown sugar. Did I mention the black pepper? A couple teaspoons, and then you need 1/2 teaspoon of ground coriander, 1/2 teaspoon of dried oregano, and you can get the nice Mexican oregano in the Latino section of the grocery store. It would go really well with this. 1/2 teaspoon of fine sea salt, and that's your rub. If you want to have a rub with a little more kick to it, you can add a little cayenne to that, a little red pepper. And then, you know, you want your freshly ground coffee. Depends on, you know, what type of grind are you using. At home, I grind mine with a hand crank. It's an old crank. It's an old grinder that I have on my wall. And 40 cranks makes a great cup of coffee in the morning. Wakes me up. But the grounds are a little bit coarser. So I think when you're making this particular rub, you want to use something that's a little bit of a finer grind. All right. You also need some bacon, if you want bacon on your cheeseburger, 8 slices. 1 pound of ground meat, ground beef, 1 pound of ground sirloin. If you can't find ground sirloin, which hardly here in Petersburg, but you can always buy some sirloin and grind your own with a grinder, if you can find one, or borrow one from the neighbor. And then some smoked provolone, smoked Gouda cheese, something like that. You might not be able to find smoked cheese, but every now and then you can get smoked cheese here. And when I see it, I buy it, because then I'll kind of center something around it. It's not that often you find smoked Gouda in town, but when I do, like I said, it's great on a burger. You find it, then buy it, and then know that you're going to have really good cheeseburgers for dinner the next weekend. Also, some potato bread hamburger buns, those nice soft ones. Also, for toppings, you can use some red onions, some tomatoes, and some barbecue sauce. So, for the rub, you mix all of those ingredients into the small bowl and store it in at room temperature in an airtight container. For the burgers, cook the bacon in a large skillet until crisp. Can you imagine if you use that coffee bacon that we just talked about? That would be good. Cook the bacon in a large skillet until crisp. Transfer to paper towels. Let it drain. You're going to break it in half. Gently mix your ground meat, your ground chuck, and your ground sirloin in a large bowl. Form the meat into 8 patties, 3.5 to 4 inches in diameter, and 1/3 to 1/2 inch thick. And make a slight indentation into the center of each burger. And just kind of a little tip, you can make those ahead of time, 8 hours ahead of time. So if you're having people over in the evening for burgers, it's getting a little bit lighter out, you're going to start your cookout, so you can make those burgers in the morning. And same with the bacon, really. Just cover them, put them in the fridge, and chill. And so you're going to sprinkle a teaspoon of coffee rub on the top side of each burger. Place the burgers rub side down on your grill rack. Grill until slightly charred, about 4 minutes. Flip it over. Place 2 slices of bacon on top of each burger. Cook 3 minutes. Top each with your nice smoked cheese slice. Cover and cook until the cheese melts, about a minute longer. Place the burgers on top of the buns, top with the onion, the tomato, a little dollop of barbecue sauce, and cover with the top buns. You can serve with some other sauce too. So there you have it. Just that nice rub, sprinkle that on. And you can do that with all sorts of... It would be really good on pork chops, and you can make a pork chop burger. So, coffee in a rub. It wouldn't be a show about using coffee if you didn't talk about maple red-eye gravy, which is a gravy made with coffee. And I really like hash for breakfast. I really love, ham and vegetables and potatoes and garlic and kale. It's so good topped with some eggs. And I'm trying to remember the name of the place over in Portland that it's a husband and wife. They opened a little market and deli in Portland, and they serve a lot of breakfast in the mornings, but I had breakfast there one morning, and it was so good. It had lots of kale in it, but it didn't have any maple red-eye gravy in it. So here's a recipe for a sweet potato, kale, and country ham hash with some maple red-eye gravy. You need about 10 ounces of country ham, and you want to cut it into bite-sized pieces, or not. If you don't want the meat from the ham, you don't need to put it in there. But I would. I like that smoky, salty flavor. And then a tablespoon of butter. You also, a leek, chop that up. Use the whites. I do use some of the greens too, but I really chop those up. And then a couple of medium-sized sweet potatoes. Take off the peel, cut it into half-inch cubes, and a couple cloves of minced garlic, half of a head of kale chopped, about 3 cups. And you, as you know, when you start cooking kale down, you think you have a lot, but then it just cooks down. Also, 1 cup of black coffee, 1/4 cup of maple syrup, 4 to 6 eggs, and some pepper. And of course, a little salt. But you know, with the ham, you might be good with salt. You have to just give it a, you know, taste test. So you have your skillet, you add your ham to the skillet, you kind of stir it, let it get brown, and remove it, put it in a bowl. Don't wipe the pan out. Always leave the fat in the pan, unless it's bacon and there's a ton of fat and you want to get some of it out, but leave some of it in there for flavor, and then add a little bit of butter. Add your leek, stir it until it's, you know, completely covered with the butter, and then you're going to throw in the cubed sweet potatoes and stir and coat those with butter too. Cook them about 7 minutes, and then add the 1/2 cup of black coffee and let all of that simmer until the potatoes are almost done. You want to have, you know, you don't want the potatoes falling apart, so make sure there's just a little bit of crunch left there in them. And then while the potatoes are cooking, you can, you're not going to use all the coffee there. You're only using about 1/2 the coffee. So with the rest of the coffee, you're going to put that in a bowl with some maple syrup and set it aside. And that's going to be your red eye gravy. Add your kale and your minced garlic to the skillet. Cook until the kale is wilted, about 4 minutes. Add your ham back in, and then pour the coffee and maple mixture over everything and stir it to coat. And then you just kind of make little wells in your skillet, like move some of the vegetables aside so you can crack open an egg and let that egg cook in those little wells. And you can put a lid on the pan or a piece of aluminum foil. Cook the eggs until you're liking. Hopefully you're cooking breakfast for somebody who likes the eggs like you, because then it's hard to do it, all the eggs differently, of course. And that's it. Perfect egg. And if you know, if you're if you want to, you can just cook it without the egg, and then you would you know, put the hash on a plate, and then everyone could have their egg the way they like it. You just throw their egg on top when you finished cooking it. Maybe they like the yolks more runny. Maybe they like the whites to be runny. I like a cooked white. But red eye gravy made with coffee. I'm just going to give you one more here because we still have to move on to the drink of the week and my sweet tooth coming up. But, well, just getting back to some coffee rubs. Coffee rubbed pork loin. I love pork loin if it's cooked, not overcooked. But you can do so much with it. And with leftovers, you can make tacos with it, chili, you know, all sorts. But to do a nice pork loin, you preheat your oven to 350. You get a nice roasting pan and a rack, and you rub together ground coffee, paprika, brown sugar, salt, cumin, garlic powder, thyme, and pepper. Remember, I said you can do all sorts of different flavors in with this coffee rub. And spread the rub all over the sides of a roast, pork loin roast, and let it sit in the refrigerator a little bit. Or you can put it right in the roasting pan, drizzle it with some olive oil, and put about 1/2 cup of chicken broth or water or vegetable broth in the bottom of a pan. And that'll kind of help steam all of that in the juices. Lots of those drippings will collect in the juices. It's going to make a great sauce. You bake it until the internal temperature reaches 145 to 150, and then put foil over the pan if it's getting a little bit too brown, and let it sit for about 15 minutes. You can do all sorts of recipes with that coffee-rubbed pork loin, sandwiches, and you could serve it with some mashed potatoes flavored with some butter and cumin and some green beans. Lots and lots and lots. So hopefully I've given you some ideas. Coming up, we're going to talk about the drink of the week, which has coffee, and also my sweet tooth. That's all coming up on What's for Dinner.
Coffee, you the salt in my stew. You will always be mine, Sesty. I'd be lost without you. You the starch in my collar. You the lace in my shoe. You will always be mine, Sesty. I'd be lost without you. Most men tell love tales, and each phrase dovetails. You've heard each known wave. This way is my own way. You're the sail of my love boat. You're the captain and crew. You will always be my necessity. I'd be lost without you.
Support for What's for Dinner on KFSK comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink, on Singley Alley and open 7 days a week.
Savor, bring out its flavor. So this is clear.
Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm Mindy Anderson. Today we're talking about coffee in your recipes. So, of course, today's drink of the week is a coffee drink. And what I like about this coffee drink, you use some orange zest in it. It's what caught my eye. And this is called Smuggler's Coffee. It's a food and wine recipe, and you need a half of a cup of hot, strong coffee. You also need 2 teaspoons of sugar. You need 1 ounce of golden rum and 1 ounce of dark rum, a small cinnamon stick, 1 long strip of orange zest, and some sweetened whipped cream and grated Mexican chocolate for garnish. So, you know, everyone likes certain coffee drinks. And I love the cinnamon and spice with this one, with the orange and the rum. So you stir in a heat-proof glass. You stir in the coffee and sugar until the sugar dissolves. Stir in both the rums. Add the cinnamon and the strip of orange zest. Garnish with some whipped cream, grated Mexican chocolate, and grated orange zest. So, yeah, some grated Mexican chocolate over the top of that. Mmm, delicious. And if you're someone who doesn't want to have alcohol in their coffee, really, if you just take some really nice cream and put that in there and still use the cinnamon and the orange zest, the whipped cream and the grated chocolate and all of that, it's going to be just as good. But addition of the rum and that spicy rum and that kick and that warm feeling, something perfect to take if you're going out and you're going to go for a picnic or a hike or something like that, and you just want something to warm you up. You can take a big thermos of coffee with you and all of the fixings. You can have rum in yours, and your friend could just have cream in theirs. But time to get out and about. The sun is starting to stay out a little bit longer, and maybe you want to go on those picnics, but still need a little bit of warmth to keep you out in the afternoon. And with that, going along with some coffee, it's time to talk about my sweet tooth. And today, well, since we have a lot of ice cream at our house, I thought it might be fun to give you this recipe for a Vietnamese coffee sundae. You know, Vietnamese coffee, it's so thick and sweet. It's usually coffee with sweetened condensed milk in it, and many times it's iced, and it's super sweet. But this is a recipe that turns a Vietnamese coffee into a sundae. You're going to need 1 cup. Well, you're going to make a peanut brittle, or you could use any sort of nut that you want to use. You could use a pistachio, would be great, but peanut brittle is what I'm going to give you the recipe for right now. 1 cup plus 1 tablespoon of sugar and 1/2 cup of water, 1 cup of unsalted roasted peanuts, 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon, and 1 teaspoon of kosher salt. There's several different kinds of cinnamon out there, so check which kind. I mean, it really doesn't matter, but if you can get the Vietnamese cinnamon, it's so good. 3/4 cup of sweetened condensed milk, any kind of that will do. 2 tablespoons of instant coffee. That's 2 tablespoons instant coffee mixed with 1 1/2 teaspoons of hot water. 1/2 cup of heavy cream and 2 pints of vanilla ice cream. So this is a sundae, folks. First of all, you want to make this brittle. If you don't want to make brittle, you can always buy some brittle too and use it for this sundae. But to make the brittle, you have the small saucepan. You take 1 cup of sugar with the water, bring it to a boil. Cook it over high heat. Don't stir it. Just leave it sit until an amber caramel forms about 12 minutes. Remove the saucepan from the heat. Then stir in the roasted peanuts, cinnamon, and salt until the peanuts are evenly coated. Also, scrape the caramel mixture onto your baking sheet, spread in an even layer, and let stand until the brittle is hardened. It doesn't take that long, especially if you can, you know, put it out on the porch on something a little cooler out there. It'll harden up in no time. Break off 4 medium-sized pieces of peanut brittle. Place the remaining brittle in a plastic bag so that you can use it later, but you're going to roll some of it up with a rolling pin and crush it up. And then, in a medium bowl, you're going to whisk your sweetened condensed milk with the dissolved instant coffee, and you're going to have this sweetened condensed milk coffee cream. And then in another bowl, using an electric mixer or a hand mixer, however you like to beat cream, you're going to beat the heavy cream with a little bit of the sugar until it's softly whipped. So you have that creamy cream from the sweetened condensed milk and the coffee, and then you have the whipped cream, and then you're going to have your ice cream, and it's going to be delicious. Scoop the ice cream into 4 bowls, drizzle with the milky coffee. Sprinkle with the crushed peanut brittle and top with a generous dollop of whipped cream. Garnish with the reserved pieces of peanut brittle and serve at once. Doesn't that sound great? I used to manage a coffee shop, and I know how to make some pretty good ice cream concoctions. And I ate a lot of ice cream when I was a kid because of it. Thanks for listening. I hope I've inspired you to get out some instant coffee, do something with it. You can make brownies, you can make biscotti, make a rub and try it out on some steak or some pork and let me know what you think. You can email mindy@kfsk.org. And don't forget about KFSK's Pick a Healthy Lunch. It's really easy. All this month for Heart Month, you make a healthy lunch. Take a picture of it with your phone, your tablet, your computer, or your camera. email that photo to mindy@kfsk.org, and your name will go into the drawing, and I'm drawing for some great prizes. I've already given away 2 gift certificates to the Daily Ration. We have gift certificates for exercise classes and gym passes, also many gift certificates to businesses who are members of the Chamber of Commerce. So get your healthy lunch made and take a picture. You have until the end of the month, which isn't far off. And we'll draw some more names this week for Pick a Healthy Lunch. Thanks for tuning in. Happy eating and happy cooking, everyone.